The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
We sure did have fun in San Antonio, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we were together for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
At the LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, near the airport. And we we did a stand-up show. We did Douglas Movies on Saturday, and then Sunday we did a stand-up show. And we recorded a bonus 5 and 5 that we'll attach to the end of this episode. But let's talk about our guest today, who is Andy Wood. That's right.
Woo-hoo!
I put it in the form of a question because he's a several time, I got to ask him, 4 or 5 time Jeopardy champion. I think he won four nights or something like that.
Very smart.
Yeah, he's a smart dude. He's good at Jeopardy. And yeah, and he's also a comedian and a podcaster. I think that's when he was on Jeopardy. It was with Alex Trebek. And I think those are the things that Alex had to say. We've got to, I don't think he said comedian. I think the podcaster was what they went with. But anyway, and part-time scientist, let's go to work. Hello, Andy Wood.
Hello, Dougs.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
I can't complain. I can't complain.
So you guys already know each other?
Yeah, I love you.
I owe Doug a ticket or a couple tickets. He got me front row seats to see King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard at the Greek a couple years ago.
Yeah, which I highly recommend to anyone.
Very fun. Thank you so much.
Wait, so you just did that? You just gifted him with that, Doug?
No, it was one of those things like we had these tickets and we couldn't end up going. And it's this band that is just amazing live. And so we want to make sure somebody, you know, cool would appreciate it went. And so, but it was weird. It was one of those things where texted around and a few people couldn't go. And Andy luckily was really into it and seemed to have a really good time. So it worked out.
Yeah.
You were already familiar with that band?
Yeah. Yeah. They're really interesting. Like they're Australian. I guess they're like a little in the Tame Impala vein, but like a lot more experimental, like weird time signatures. They have two drummers playing the exact same thing next to each other. It's really a trip to see live.
Yeah. Very, very good with drugs too, by the way.
I was not on it. I still loved it.
What are they called again?
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah, see, they better be good.
Yeah.
Like that would take a lot of nerve to suck after having that name.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about this show is we talk a lot about names, but I am very distracted by our guests today because I love game shows and Jeopardy, you know, more so than any other, perhaps. So just the fact that you've been on Jeopardy, like, you know, just do, is there anyone like me that whenever you talk to them, that's all they want to talk to you about now?
Interestingly, it's a lot of a lot of my friends don't have linear TV. If that, is that the word for non-streaming, you know, just being able to watch things when they air?
Linear?
Is that the, I think that's the technical term for it. I don't know.
Broadcast television.
Yeah. A lot of friends didn't get to see it. You know, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but whatever. I torrented the episodes so that I could watch them. And then I put them on Google Drive and I'll send the link to friends if they want to see, but a lot of friends never saw it. So it's mostly when I go back to Michigan and my parents are trying to show me off to their friends. So my parents' friends think I'm a superstar. And every time we go out to eat somewhere, that's when I talk the most about Jeopardy. But I don't have a ton of friends who watched it. So, and my close friends are super sick of me talking about it. So I love the chance to talk about it with someone who doesn't get sick of me talking about it. So yeah, it was a crazy, a lifelong thing that I wanted to do. And I'm also obsessed with game shows and that's my favorite. And to be on it alone with Alex, let alone win, is just the craziest.
Yeah. So how many nights did you win?
I won 4 and then, so I played 5 times, lost the 5th time, oddly to somebody who I knew, Charlie right. Fonville, who I'd worked with on a project. And then that was enough. If you get 5 wins, you're guaranteed to be in the tournament of champions, which happens. It's sort of weird. It happens whenever they decide there's enough people to have it, like every 18 months to 2 years. So I wasn't guaranteed, but then, they just decided to cut off that tournament at the last of the contestants of the Alex era. So they took the top 15 money earners of that. So I was like 13th on that list. So I got to do the tournament of champions and I lost in the first round. But I lost to the 2 people who went on to be 1st and 3rd in the whole thing. So it took the edge off. And now I'm friends with all of those other tournament players. In fact, I have a house guest right now, Ben Henry, who was in the tournament. He won the teacher's tournament, which qualified him for the Jeopardy tournament champions. He lives in Michigan. I was back in Michigan a couple weeks ago. We met up to do bar trivia. And then he was just like, hey, I got some freaking flyer miles. Just kind of take you up on the offer to come out to visit California. So yeah, one of my tournament co-contestants is crashing in my place right now.
Whoa. Did you guys win bar trivia?
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the dickest thing we could have done, but I don't know when else I can wear my Jeopardy shirt. So we just met up and both of us wore our Jeopardy shirts. And I'm like, we deserve to lose this game. We super deserve to lose this game.
Right. Cause also there is like, bar trivia, like sometimes they'll just throw, they'll just come at you with something out of nowhere that, smart people don't necessarily know the answer to,
But it was Sporkle. Sporkle does like a franchise. So there's a sort of quality control. It's the same quiz that happens at all the bars in the country that are doing Sporkle quizzes. So.
Oh yeah, it's like Geeks Who Drink is one right. that's in a bunch of them.
It's like just
but you know what I mean. Sometimes it's just not Jeopardy style smarts that count. You know what I mean? Like if they suddenly had a bunch of questions about the Kardashians, what would you'd fall apart?
Yeah, and also it's really easy. It's really easy to write bad trivia questions. You know, like anybody can write down a fact and phrase it as a question, but like for it to be interesting, that's when it's a skill. So yeah, sometimes a bar trivia night that isn't like a franchise just has like a bartender who's like, I'll just write some questions and they'll just be very hard and uninteresting. And like, you don't want to play uninteresting trivia where you find out the answer like, oh, I still don't care about that. That wasn't an interesting thing to have learned. Or
yeah. There's always so much downtime in those things. Cause the idea is they want, the bar wants you to spend a lot of money on food and drink right. while you're there. And you can't eat and drink a lot if you're, playing an intense game that doesn't have any breaks. So they just built in there. And then also it's supposed to lead to, conversation and stuff. My favorite is when they just play a song and say artist and title, because for some reason, I'm really good at that. Cause I've just paid attention to music that's current my whole life. I haven't ever been like somebody who just picked a genre and then never moved forward, which seems what a lot of people do.
Yeah, I've definitely fallen off the last 5 years. I worked on a show 2 summers ago that was, I think it's getting made now, like a Jimmy Fallon, a full show of just like the music-based games Fallon does with contestants, like the Wheel of Musical Impressions, that right. kind of stuff. So working on that for a summer, I had to learn recent stuff. I realized how out of touch I'd gotten with recent music. But so now I'm out of touch again, but I was up to date as of summer 2019. I know that's Olivia good. Rodrigo, and that's about it for recent things.
she's huge. She's a big deal, I guess. All right, so I have more Jeopardy questions, but to be fair to my co-host, do you have anything you'd like to ask Andy about being a Jeopardy champion?
I was just, I thought it was funny that he was making it sound like getting blown out and, or not blown out, but eliminated in the first round. Like you said it as if you're a loser in it, but you were in a thing called Tournament of Champions. Like,
right.
That's like it, I think I was at your place. I did your podcast. I think right when you were trying to get on me, I guess the first time, I think.
Oh. And
you were doing like these, like, I don't know if it was warm-ups for a test, like you were going to have to take for like to screen, but like, I think it was like 50 questions. I don't know how many questions, but I think I knew maybe one and you just blew right through all of it. Like I couldn't even do that. So kudos. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. Where do they, the initial quiz that you take, Andy, where do you think they get those questions from? Are those questions that have been on the show already or written specifically just for, to test people?
I bet they haven't been on the show. They could be. I bet they're written by the writers. I don't think it'd be a crazy ask to have the writers put together.
No, not at all. Or just, yeah. Or just questions that they just didn't do on the show for some reason, like that category didn't get fully called out or whatever.
That's probably it. Because I think I forgot if it's that every game has one more category that isn't used or every category has one more question that isn't used, but they overwrite the whole thing. So I think they always have some extra, or maybe it's also that, like in a given day, there are six games that could be, cause they tape five episodes a day. There are six games that could get used and their third party lawyer, like standards and practices lawyer selects randomly five of the six. So they have all these things like that to prevent any possible shenanigans, you know, including that person also randomly picks the three people at every new recording of the 15 who are sitting in the waiting area, or I guess of the 11 in the waiting area. I picked the two new challengers. So everything's totally randomized and some stuff gets thrown out or saved for later.
Wow.
So 50 questions.
But the questions, when you're doing the test, the questions aren't like, who's the seventh president? The questions are written Jeopardy style where there's more to the question that gives you clues than just asking the question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're definitely Jeopardy style questions. I'm trying to remember one of the ones.
I'm going to do good on this now. I always thought they just asked you really hard questions. I didn't realize that they'd still have those Jeopardy sort of like written in that style where if you just read the question, you know, if you just think about some of the specific words in the question, it gives away what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't think it was particularly harder than the show. I think it was in keeping with the average show question. So I mean, anybody can do that. You used to have to wait for, I think once a quarter, they would do the online test. I think when I did it, it was still that, but then right, maybe the second time I tried out, it was finally this new anytime online test. So anybody listening to this can just go to Jeopardy.com right now and take that first 50 question test. I think you get like 5 or 10 seconds per question. And then if you get, they don't say this, but I think if you're above like 38 out of 50 or so, you'll probably get to go to the next round, which is also 50 questions, but that'll be on video. That used to be in person, but they'll do a Zoom call. My friend just did it. And I think now it's like, you'll see everyone else's faces like Brady Bunch style on a Zoom call, but you typing the answers, like your mics are off maybe. I don't know. But yeah, everything's online. Everything's, you know,
wait, so that first thing is multiple choice.
No, nothing's multiple choice, but in fact, maybe the first and second are all just typing. What I did at the second round was a one-on-one Zoom call that I did with Sarah from the Clue Crew, like a brief interview, then 50 questions where she just played this video. I had to say the answers in the 5 seconds before the next thing comes up, as opposed to writing them. And then they just recorded you. So they, I guess it's also like a screen test. So they can go back and see what you looked like while you were answering. And I guess by that logic, also know that you weren't doing anything like, you know, quickly looking it up or something. Like they can see your face and know that you were answering to the questions. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I am surprised that first 50 questions thing, like, so if you just type in the wrong answer, then you know, or you spell it wrong or something, you just probably miss the question, right?
Yeah. I don't think they care about spelling as they don't in the show, except for that.
Right. But I mean, that
Gary Gordy,
but the thing that's testing you, isn't it like, isn't it a program? It's not the first test, isn't a person.
Yeah, but I bet they have the ability to have that vetted by people. And I'm sure they do vet it to make sure that the program didn't miss if you were like, you know, if you added an extra L, like I misspelled Philippines, I was confused with numbers of L's and P's. It doesn't matter. So yeah,
I love that. I love that the spelling on Final Jeopardy doesn't matter. I love because pronunciation does matter in every answer throughout the game. And then, but I also love, and this current champion who I'd like to talk about, Matt Amodio.
Matt Amodio, yeah.
This son of a bitch, if he knows the first and last name, he'll just say the last name. I think it's just another one of his strategies to just get into the next question quicker and throw off the other players.
It's also just needlessly risky. I guess it's like show-offy. Maybe your ego wants you to tell people that you know the first and last name. But if you, no, I'm saying he's doing the right thing. You should give as little information as is necessary for a correct response. Because you could also, a guy said the full title of Dr. Strangelove and messed it up where they would have they would have accepted Dr. Strangelove. So I think he said A-bomb instead of V-bomb. And they were like, oh, once you've done that, any interior interior articles matter. Leading articles don't matter. Like somebody said A Handmaid's Tale instead of The Handmaid's Tale, and they still won. But yeah, once you start going long, anything in that long answer, if any of that shit's off, you're wrong. So just go short. Yeah. He's really, I mean, I know people are mad that he's just doing the what's thing, which he says it's to free up brain space. I don't think I never had to think about the question word. It just is like a lifetime of talking, like lets you know what the,
well, that's, you know, he's a character and he seems to know quite a bit. So I feel like talking to others isn't his forte.
Well, it's funny. I have a really active text thread with all 15 and two alternates of the tournament players. And our thread is obviously blowing up about the host announcements, but also blowing up about Matt, because he just passed Jason Zuffranieri, who's in our group, who had the number three spot of all time winnings. Now Matt has the number three spot. But yeah, we're talking about how he has a surprisingly low hit rate for a champion. Like getting like five incorrect answers in a day is a lot of wrong answers, but I think everyone he's playing against now is just kind of rolling over for him. They're all intimidated and they should just be going for the high point values, going for huge daily doubles. He's beatable. Like he's a great player speed wise, but like percentage of questions correct, he's surprisingly not at this like super high caliber. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying like he's beatable.
Yeah.
So if somebody's
there's things he doesn't know. Like you'll see him sit out stuff, but you'll also see him buzz in and then think about it and then answer. Cause he knows he can do that.
Yeah. Which Ken would do also. Yeah.
That's a real smart way to play, but also you know, especially in the second round, you're really risking, like you could lose, you know, 2000 points on one wrong answer and the other person gets 2000. So it's a 4,000 point swing.
It was really a 6,000 point swing for me when I said Tetons instead of Grand Teton. Cause yeah, I would have had 2000 more. I had 4,000 less than if it had a right answer. And then Sam got 2000. So it's really a $6,000 swing on missing Grand. And you know, I had to like ask during the break to make sure Tetons doesn't count. And who comes out to tell me it doesn't count? Mike Richards. I was like, I had to at least ask. He's like, yeah, no, the national park site says Grand. I'm like, yeah. You knew what I meant.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm not bitter.
Yeah. It's wild to me that, cause a lot of times, when I'm just playing at home, I'll just know the last name of a person and think, wow, that would get me through. Just saying the last name, you know, unless it's Roosevelt,
unless then it's Kennedy, insist on which
right,
one.
Right.
Yeah. Or Clinton or yeah. Any number of, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody that's like multiple, people that could be the answer, I guess. But so yeah, Matt Amodio has a really interesting style. He kind of stands with his back a little bit to the other two players, which I find to be an interesting approach. Like almost like, you know, if they could see his lips moving, they'd be more focused on what was happening with him. Like he really has some strategies. And then now he's also got the fact that he just gets to play five times a day.
Yeah.
Like, so that's these people that are coming in to go up against him are just, that's their first time ever. And they're going really up against, you know.
But you know, it's weird. Like, I don't know that I learned that much in my five games about the buzzer. Like it seemed like every game for me, it was like starting from square one because you have different players. I just don't know how anybody becomes great at the buzzer. It's just such a, like an inscrutable thing to me. And in some ways, if you're sitting, there's no audience, but there is the other players that day are watching. So I think that Charlie Fonville had a pretty decent advantage of just getting to watch four episodes and probably getting to look at the players' hands and the lights next to the board that illuminate when you can buzz in and figure out some kind of strategy for timing. Cause he came in guns a-blazing. So I think you can come in and like, and so did my Wednesday opponent was great on the buzzer instantly. Like it's doable. I just think maybe people are already like knowing that his winnings are so big, they're just kind of rolling over. They're like kind of glad to be there or something.
But also you've seen his style, right? Like, I mean, you see what he's doing. He holds his wrist with his other hand so that he's incredibly steady, and he just pushes that button. Everybody else lifts it up, moves it around, lifts up their thumb first. They all have like these things that they're doing, and he's just right there on it, and it's just solid. And he just, you know, it gets him in way more often than the other players who are all just, you know, I mean, I guess you get to practice on the buzzer before you're actually on the show,
but not enough for it to make a difference. You get to buzzer
exactly
three times. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, Ken has even said it's primarily a bad button based video game and secondarily a trivia game. It's really true. It's a button game, and it's a weird thing. You can't learn at home. You can't practice. And then when we had the tournament, we had a whole new host. So all of us had played with Alex before. And now we have Buzzy. And his cadence is different. And I don't know if like the producer's assessment of when he was done reading was different, but like all of us after the warm-up buzzer round in the morning, we're looking at each other like totally confused because it felt like the timing made no sense. And we had no idea whether to go off of audio listening for the end of the clue or the lights next to the board, because that could even like slow you down if you're waiting to react to those lights as opposed to anticipating the end of his speech.
I mean, so that's
we were lost on that. Yeah.
That's the other thing that makes Modio so he's just so unstoppable is just that he it doesn't seem to matter that they keep changing hosts on him.
That is weird.
Like they're changing them weekly at this point, and he doesn't miss a beat. Like it doesn't matter who the host is.
It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm certainly not criticizing anything about him. He's a great player. I'm jealous. I wish if I'd had my buzzer skills on my last day, I would have. I had like eight questions in a row I knew and didn't.
I don't mean to, you know, drag you through, having to remember, having to think about it, but
I wanted to be very upset.
What about, are you enjoying, how Joe Buck actually throws in like a commentary? Like it's a sporting event.
I do. I like whenever someone makes it a little bit different, because that's the point of having different hosts. So
yeah,
do you have an opinion on who you've liked the most so far?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I find, you know, this situation kind of frustrating because, sure, Mike Richards is a longtime producer of the show and loves the show clearly. It's like, you know, attached to it and has always wanted to be a host. He's hosted a couple different game shows on GSN and shit. And, you know, so he basically gave himself the job. But why have this elaborate thing that seems like it's a hunt to find somebody interesting and then choose the most plain person possible?
It is odd. But then again, when he first hosted, which admittedly he was only the second host after Ken, I saw it and I was like, oh, this is who it's going to be. Cause it just made sense. And I'm not saying anything about the controversies that have come out since then. I haven't looked into that enough to have a strong opinion, but like, you're like, oh, this is pretty much the place where Trebek was in 84. He was in his mid 40s. He had a track record of having hosted some of his shows. He has the chops to do the nuts and bolts of hosting. He has that sort of generically attractive game showy look. True, it's also a straight white male, and I wish it were more diverse, but I just saw him hosting and I was like, this is probably who it's going to be. It just makes sense. Oh, and also somebody who doesn't already have a career they'd have to step away from. It's someone who could dedicate the next few decades of their life to this and only this.
Well, yeah, one could argue, I would argue that at least half of those hosts did it because they were excited to host Jeopardy for a week or two. Yeah, like they didn't, weren't there trying to get the job, but there were at least two or three people that seemed like they would probably want the job. And I feel like would have been an interesting, fun choice. There's nothing fun about Mike Richards. Like the game is just going to be like a stodgier, almost strangely, not stodgier, but just like he doesn't have Alex has got a personality where he can be like, you know, it's kind of fun watching him be mean to the contestants when he, you know, tells them, remember the category and shit like that. But, you know, you don't want to see that from Mike Richards. Like, who is this guy? Why do we, you know, why do we, we're not invested in him, you know, as a person, you know, and Buzzy and Robin, I thought Robin Roberts was great.
Yeah.
Everybody that comes from broadcasting and, you know, being on camera all the time and reading prompter all the time, they were all great at it. I felt the ones that were rougher were the ones that don't have, you know, haven't had broadcast careers.
Yeah, definitely.
And then one of them. Yeah. And they gave Mayim Bialik the consolation prize.
Well, I'm sure that was exactly after there was blowback about Richard's exactly past, obviously. So
exactly. But then again, she's also an unpopular choice
because she has some kind of like skeletons in her closet vis-a-vis vaccines or something, or what's, I forgot.
Oh, I know. I think she's an unpopular choice just because, you know, I mean, who, by the time it was over, you know, only old people and idiots liked the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay. You're just saying it doesn't move the needle on getting people.
Now she's got some new show where she has a cat cafe, and it's one of the most awful shows I've ever seen on network television. Yeah. And it just got picked up for season two.
What about Blossom, though?
I mean, what about Blossom?
All right, you're right. She deserves it all.
I think it should have been
on Blossom.
I think it should have been a three-way hosting gig and have Joey Lawrence do some special events also.
Her best work was in Beaches with Bette Midler, where she played, you know, child Bette Midler, and there was hardly any better casting ever.
Yeah.
She's great in that movie.
Another Jeopardy contestant posted my new favorite piece of TV trivia the day that Mayim started hosting, which is actually, I should look up the exact wording, but basically I learned that there are not one, but two shows that came out between 90 and 91 that star Mayim Bialik as a title character and whose one word name is the title of the show and has a theme song by Dr. John.
Whoa.
Yeah. The other show, let's see. It was just a brief thing called Malloy. Ran from July 1990 to August 1990, starred Mayim Bialik as a carefree LA native preteen girl. And the theme song is Accentuate the Positive by Dr. John, as opposed to Blossom, which has a theme song, My Opinionation by Dr. John, and stars Mayim as that same titular. It's just like the
Why would you mess with the Dr. John part of the formula? That's clearly why Blossom was a success.
You figured that out. Yep. But no, she would have been fine. Yeah, there's a lot of people that'll be fine. It's just
I thought she was clunky when she was on, and I just didn't ever get into her as a host. I mean, I don't have strong feelings about her one way or the other, but I just find that there was so much more deserving.
Yeah. Again,
people I don't know.
I think we were never promised that all these hosts were trying out. I think we all assumed.
No,
that.
Of course we weren't. Cause the guy that wanted the job was in charge the whole time.
Well, but you saw the leaked email. It's possible this is not his choice to make. He is the executive producer. It doesn't mean.
Oh no, it's not his choice to make, but it's also like, I think for the longevity of the show, they should get somebody that's hugely popular with America and not some guy that, allegations Johnson over here. Great.
I mean, there is that. That's the thing. I'm not even getting into that. That may be enough to say this shouldn't have happened. I'm thinking about just the like.
Right, but now there are a bunch of white men who are absolutely committed to their decision. They're rich. Yeah. They don't give a fuck. You know, they're just going to go ahead with it. And it's like, okay, fine. But when the ratings start to trail off and they have to start doing stunts and things that are not Alex Trebek's Jeopardy, then, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's not going to work in the long run. You know what? The person I would like to ask about this is Mel Brooks.
Mm.
He watches every day. He watched with Carl Reiner every night while they ate TV dinners. And then Carl Reiner passed away, but Mel is still with us. And I would love to know what he thinks.
I would love to know if Mel Brooks has seen me in Jeopardy. That would be a huge.
He definitely see. Andy, I just told you.
He watches every
night. Watch my lip. He watches Jeopardy every night. Mel Brooks has watched you on television.
That's really cool.
That's a credit. That's a credit within a credit for you, Andy.
That's like, I think April Richardson was on Chelsea Lately and wore a David Bowie shirt. And then she somehow heard through the grapevine back from Bowie that he appreciated that.
Oh, look, my God. David Bowie watches Bowie Chelsea. Saw the shirt
pre 2016, but David Bowie watched Chelsea Lately is the weirdest thing. I never would have guessed that, but I guess he did.
They got TVs, man. Everybody's got TVs. They're flipping around. They see a shirt with their face on it. They might get interested.
That's true. but back to the mic thing, here's my last take on it. I don't even want to like get into the allegations, because if those are true, those again, that could be all you have to say about it, and that means it's a bad idea. But I think that this show is probably uniquely insulated from the whims of social media because of its old media style, the fact that it isn't on I mean, occasionally they'll put some out on Netflix, but it's if you don't see it when it airs, there's no way to see it. It's syndicated. It's not right. actually on Hulu or something else. So they make all their money from syndication and all their money from people who have old school broadcast TV. And I think it's an older demographic. The Venn diagram of actual Jeopardy's, like the people that keep them on the air and the Twitter mobs, are that Venn diagram barely overlaps. I don't think it matters what happens on Twitter. I think that the people who watch Jeopardy are probably very okay with Mike Richards, and it'll continue to have the same ratings it's had. You know, it's like when Twitter, gets mad at SNL.
It still matters what happens in the press and in Twitter.
It does. It does.
Because they feed off of each other. And so the show is tainted by the decision to use this guy. And, you know, no matter who made it, I don't care who made it. The whole thing, his whole story about how when he filled in those 2 weeks early on, that was last minute. He was filling in for somebody else who couldn't make it last minute. That's bullshit. You don't do 2 weeks when it's a last minute fill in.
Well, I mean, it's funny if that is a lie. He covered his ass on that back in April, because I think after we had finished taping, maybe as we're waiting for like the last three players to play the finals, the other 12, 13, 14 of us are sitting in the stands, and Mike comes over to just shoot the shit with us. And just, we're all talking about just what a hard year it was and COVID stuff. And he was talking about how he was on a ski trip with his family. Again, I'm just saying what he said. I'm not saying it's true, but he said, and he got this call to come back and to fill in. And he's like, okay, I'll host. So I don't know why he'd be covering his ass back in April to the 12 of us, you know, with a story that isn't true.
It's possible. I don't know why.
It's possible it isn't true, but whatever. He was very nice to us. And
But why is he on vacation when Jeopardy has just come back and he's the top ranked producer of the show?
I mean,
why wasn't he? So he technically wasn't there, the host before him, that he had to come back to host.
I guess. I mean, people go on vacations. I don't know. You got me. It's funny if he was like, this is a lie and I have to start it early. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. You know, these things are really, there's a lot of sneaky behavior when it comes to these things. And, you know, good for him. He got what he wanted. You know, I mean,
did you see?
But if the show's ratings start to suffer, you know, nobody's going to sit around and just let that happen. He's going to get fired or, you know.
Again, I think the people that watch are actually
right. They're old. They're old, but they are also dying, especially now. They're dying faster now, unfortunately. Yeah. So, like you're saying about broadcast TV, it's dying. Like if they don't make something that people are going to want to watch on streaming, it's not going to be a show anymore. Family Feud and Wheel of Fortune are going to just, you know, they're already more popular than Jeopardy, and it's only going to keep going. Yeah. Family Feud's the number one game show on television right now.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, did you see,
because it's hilarious.
Speaking of hilarious, I think James Holzhauer is pretty damn funny. When they announced that they're having Mike and Mayim, Holzhauer tweeted, also new for next season, contestants can submit two final Jeopardy responses in case the first one causes public backlash.
Wow.
That's pretty catty.
Yeah, what was Ken Jennings? He had a pretty good one too.
Oh, I didn't see his. I heard him on his podcast talking about the Dalai Lama selection process. Yeah. And wondering if
that's out. Yeah.
What if they ever find that they're the Dalai Lama? And they're like, yeah, like Dick Cheney or Mike Richards. And that was before they announced it.
Yeah. So he's definitely on the inside, knew that's where that was going.
Yeah.
Anyway, I apologize to the listeners if they're not interested in Jeopardy, because we really just turned this into a Jeopardy episode. I think it's such a great show, such an institution, and I, you know, will never stop being excited that at least somebody I know. I mean, and I know Ken Jennings, so I don't know why I'm more excited about you, but I am.
Because you probably didn't know Ken before he was on. If I'm sure if you did, it'd be different. But
yeah, that's the interesting thing, though, that like, you know, it was easy to befriend Ken after he was already, you know, champion. And then I think I told you this, Andy, on another podcast, but, you know, I was there when Ken won the GOAT.
Oh, right.
And not only was I there and got to go up and write fart on the podium, so that was my, and take a picture of it. We went crazy. Like Alicia and I just ran around and took pictures all over that stage because we were like, we were there as Ken's friends and family. Like he didn't even have his family there.
Wait, why not?
They didn't want to fly in. Like he is so over it. Like when he won the fucking $1 million, I've never seen somebody more calm. He was just standing around talking like, you know, he just taped another episode and wasn't even a contestant. Like he was so chill. He's just the most, you know, he's got such a, he's just so naturally calm that's part of probably why he's such a good at the game.
I mean, yeah, when you get to that level of knowledge, like even befriending the rest of the tournament players post-tournament, I realized like I was kind of lucky to get as far as I got. I shouldn't be upset that I lost the tournament. I should be happy I got there because everybody else is on another level. Like Ben, who is staying with me right now, he does the New York Times crossword every day and we were comparing best times and his best time for a Monday puzzle is like 2 minutes, 20 seconds. His best time for Tuesday is like 2 minutes, 40 seconds, all the way up to like his best Sunday is like 13 minutes. He's done a Sunday crossword in 13 minutes.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. Like, I think Sam who won really the tournament. Crazy. Yeah. Everyone else's preparation was just Olympic level and they just live and breathe this stuff. So I can see why Ken is just like, yeah, I know all this. I don't have to worry. I just know it. I've been studying this my whole life. And
yeah, but I just don't, he's such a, you know, normal guy with a sense of humor and like, you know, like I just, you know, it's just not, you know, it's just not your typical egghead, you know?
Yeah.
He's able to, you know, go out in the world.
But he's very funny. Omnibus is one of the few podcasts I listen to every week and he's really funny on it.
Yeah. He's a good man. And if he's listening to this right now, hi.
Oh wait, so, I can't, I don't want to say hello to him. I don't want to befriend him in case I can someday get on the chase maybe. So I can never know Ken. I really want to get on the chase.
You still don't know him. We were just talking about him. Yeah. I know him.
If you can get me on the chase though, please do what you can.
I won't put you on the same episode of Doug Loves Movies with him. Okay. So do you remember the number? Is it 74 times that Ken won?
Ooh, that does sound right.
I think it's 73, 74, 75 in that range. And like, do you feel like Matt Imodio is going to get there?
Like I said, I think it's just going to take one aggressive player because again, he's a great, great player, but the wrong answers are higher than with your James's and Ken's and Brad's. So I think if somebody just really goes for the high dollar value stuff early, and bets everything whenever they get a daily double. Cause like, what's the point? If you know you're up against the great, like to play like a milquetoast game is just such a weird move. Like,
yeah. Well, and he's in this really weird position where he always has more than double than the other two players going into Final Jeopardy. So he always just wagers, you know, whatever amount he has to not lose, you know? So it's just, it's kind of depressing how what a foregone conclusion the end of the show is. Like it doesn't really matter what happens in Final Jeopardy because they can't catch him.
Yeah,
you know, he's always got way more.
Yeah, if you can't get in the buzzer, then obviously you can't win the game. But I would just say if anybody's listening and you're gonna go up against him, if they're still taping, I'm guessing his run is already over as far as when it taped, but I have no idea of that. I'm just the odds would say that probably is over, but right. Yeah, just go for it, man. Go for the daily doubles and bet everything when you get them. You have to.
I just saw a tweet he wrote about Joe Buck where he's like, good job, man. You're really good at like him telling, like complimenting.
Because he's seen multiple the host, now.
Like, you know, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But like, he's taking over this thing. I think Matt Imodio might be the next host.
Man, yeah,
because he's going to refuse to leave.
Well, if they would just follow my parents and aunts and uncles' advice, they obviously would have made me the host. That's the funniest thing is talking to other tournament players. All of us have family members who are like, "You should be the host." Like, why would I be the host? Why would I, who rank like 217th on the all-time leaderboard, why would I be
one through 216? Might be busy.
Yeah, it's like when family is like, you should be on SNL. Like, oh, you're right. I forgot to just email Lauren Michaels and get on SNL. That's, yeah.
Yeah, that's a sad,
unfortunate reality of, you know, when you decide to get into show business and the rest of the family doesn't really get it.
The whole system.
Yeah. Yeah. But the name Andy, short for Andrew, I assume.
Yes.
And like what, you know, how do you feel about it? Like, are you excited to be an Andy, or was it always not that great a name to you?
It's a weird adult name. You don't think of a lot of Andys as adults, except maybe Andy Griffith. But then I tried the briefly unintentionally being Andrew because I had a name tag at this internship at Intel that said Andrew. So people just started calling me that. I'm like, oh, I'll try it for the summer. And then like a week into it, I'm like, it's fucking Andy. I can't stand to hear Andrew. So yeah, I'm stuck with a sort of kiddish name as an adult. But it's also funny, like Andy sounds so kid-like, but Andrew means manly, like the actual, you know,
really
Latin, like, you know, androgens, like testosterone, those are manly hormones, or androgynous, G-Y-N, that's male and female together. Yeah, A-N-D-R is the prefix that means manly. So I don't know, I guess it's kind of cool having a name that means manly, but still sounds kind of kidly.
Yeah, definitely softens it with the Andy.
Yeah.
Like half manly. I don't know.
And then the family calls me Droops, which somehow came from Drew.
Right.
Droops or Droopy. No one else in the family says that. It's not good.
I can't believe you told us that. Cause you know, what if we decide to do that?
I don't mind it.
Oh, okay. As long as you don't mind it. Cause if I minded it, I wouldn't bring it up because I mean, that is, you know, something like that can be a real bummer.
No. Droopy does sound like it means something else, but it's just from the Drew part of Andrew.
When you don't want Droopy wood is not great.
No, I guess it doesn't.
Well, why? I mean, they went with Droopy. Like they went with the you know Droops. What I mean? Like it's they could have gone Droozy. It could have been Drooky. Could have been, you know, a lot of things they could have put on there, but they went with the one that sounds like you shit your pants.
Yeah. Well, it's usually Droops, which is less weird.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That sounds even worse. Oh,
your pants are drooping.
Oh my God. I've got the Droops.
It does. Now that I think about it. But it's spelled with a W, so it's okay.
I'm turning into champions.
You will respect me now. You prefer to be as Andrew.
Andrewnament of champions. Dougs you've known besides me and Doug Mellard. Are there any?
I saw Dougs Jones, in your life. Saw Doug Jones from a distance at LA Comic Con. Dougs in my life.
Let's narrow it down more to ones you actually know, not just ones you saw from afar.
Ooh, wow. I am suddenly.
I don't blame you.
No. But there are so
many.
I'm
trying to think of other Andys or Andrews I know. And I don't know a lot of them, but I definitely have some.
I know I'm forgetting somebody important.
Well, I mean, you probably kind of know Doug Stanhope, I would guess.
Yes. Doug Lutzenhop, aka DJ Doug Pound.
All right.
Yeah.
He's
been on the show.
Yeah. I'm on a text thread with him and other comedians who surf from time to time.
Yeah.
What about last?
Who else names? Is on that? I want to know who the surfer comedians are.
Oh, it's Moshe Kasher, Kurt Braunohler. I hope I'm not blowing up anybody's spot here. Moshe, Kurt, John
Daly.
I can't
believe these guys are surfers. Holy shit.
John Daly, Doug Pound, Andrew Michon, Ahmed Weinberg joined it recently.
Oh, nice. I just met him recently. He's very funny.
Mikey Campman, I think he's not on the thread anymore. But
when what's the thread is just like, all right, man, it's full suit day. Get out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I live in Joshua Tree now. So I'm surprised they haven't kicked me off because I'm 3 hours from the beach. So I haven't surfed with them in like a year.
But, you're not out there sand surfing?
I did. I got out to Orange County and surfed last weekend for the first time in like a year. Now I'm just searching Facebook for who else I'm Facebook friends with who's named Doug. Is that cheating?
No, I mean, we're not, it's not that serious of a question.
Oh,
it's
know,
just, it is making my point though, that nobody likes hanging out with people named Doug.
Oh, what?
No, it's just we're just finding that it's like, yeah, well, see, he came up with DJ Doug Pound to spruce up that name. When you just stick with it, it's just like, you know, I'm not complaining. I think it's works for me, and I think it works for Doug Mellard, but you know, like, I don't know, there's something about some names. Like if you saw a row of people that all had the same name, you'd go like, they all look like dicks, or they all look like, you know, Matt or whatever the name is.
Mike, Kevin.
Yeah. Or... something about when you see Doug's, like, none of us look alike. I mean, not that we should look similar, but you know, there's just nothing about us that are,
Think you don't have, like, it's not a name that has nominative determinism. Have you heard about that concept?
No, like, but I love it, because I think we talk about it every week, but we didn't know it was called nominative determinism.
I think that's what it's called. Like, and this could be apocryphal. I should Google it instead of just saying this thing that could be just like urban legend, but that there are, you know, a disproportionate number of people named Dennis end up being dentists.
Whoa.
Stuff like that, like the subtle push, you know, in a certain direction.
Everyone named Wetzel loves pretzels.
Sure.
But that, I, you know what? We haven't really hit that so specifically as this dentist thing, but it makes absolute sense, because the more we do the show, talking to people about names and stuff is like, it really affects your trajectory, and you know, it can change your life, I think, a little bit, what you're called. And like in your case, like switching to Andrew and then switching back to Andy, like that's a choice you made, because it's just, you know, become over time, obviously, that's your, you know, that's your name, you know, it's all very interesting, but, wow, we really pushed it with all that Jeopardy talk. we got so much more to do, because what we do is Doug and I each write 5 questions for our guests, specifically for our guests. And then we take turns going back and forth saying those questions. And, we barely even have enough time left to go to commercial, but we have to do it. We never went to commercial. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back for an exciting conclusion. We'll be right back with Final Jeopardy.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and thank you for sticking around with so little left to go, but there is some bonus material at the end of this episode, so it's all going to be worth it. And Andy Wood, you've been such a terrific guest.
Thank you.
And we didn't even get to your questions.
I need the questions. I definitely got to do the questions.
Yeah, but before we get to your questions, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
Yes.
And that's where we ask you questions that we didn't get to for the last guest. Because that's what's happening. We get so far behind every episode. The last guest was our friend Seth Herzog, phoning in from the East Coast. And we didn't get to his questions. So the idea was we were going to ask you his questions before we ask you your questions, but I don't think we have time for any of it.
Just start asking. I want to hear questions.
And Andy's the guy that's
Let's Doug, let's try to get, let's see how many we can get in the next 3 minutes. So just short answers, Andy. These are questions for Seth Herzog. You can, from your point of view, his point of view, however you want to answer.
Yeah, especially because you're so good at questions, obviously. All right, number one. Off camera, you actually might know this. Off camera, is Jimmy Fallon actually really hard to make laugh?
Ooh, I bet he's an easy laugh in his whole life.
Oh, for sure.
I think he is, yeah. I think he's like, you know, I think the combination of his genuine sweetness and his professional sweetness makes him have fun, you know, and laugh a lot of things. I'm gonna guess that's what I think is going on. It'd be weird
if he was real hard to crack.
Yeah, no, I mean, somebody like Seth wouldn't just sit around not trying to make Jimmy laugh and wouldn't put up with, you know, Jimmy never laughing. Like, I think, you know, he has a pretty good relationship with all of his associates.
I forgot until you asked this, that's why, because Seth works on the show. I was like, oh, there's a reason for this. Yeah.
Yeah, Seth has been with the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon since its inception. And as a result, here's my first question for him. It goes, you are friends with the Roots, which blows my mind. And I was going to make him pick his favorite member of the Roots. Oof. Yeah, I don't know how he'd do it because I think he really is friends with all of them.
Yeah. So I'm going to answer for him Questlove because I think it's just safe. But
yeah, that's fair. And, you know, makes sense because I think they are the closest. Like, I've met Questlove a couple of times now, and it's just because I was standing next to Seth. But I don't know. I feel like Questlove says this to everybody he meets because he said it to me both times he met me. He said, love your work. I have all of your stuff. And I feel like he just says that to any comedian or musician that he meets.
Yeah. It's a good
because it just fills you up. You're immediately like, what? Questlove is super into me. And then he just turns and walks away. And you're like, oh, maybe not. All right. Question number two from Doug Mallard.
Were you actually fully naked as the character Naked Guy in the 10?
100% naked. That's how Seth does it.
Beautiful.
I don't feel like that guy has a shy, excuse the expression, bone in his body. I think that, because that seems to be like a running theme that I noticed in his credits, is that it's always like a character that you, when you hear about it, you go, oh, he was in like in a movie called Safe Men, he played Gold Trophy. So, you know, he was just naked and painted gold. Right. Yeah. And then there's this other movie, Role Models. He played Bell Ringing Winged Creature. So, yeah, I think that's really good. But here's my next question. At what age are you going to show your twins the movie Twins? I think that it's important that they see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that that's after the talk. So just sometime post-puberty. So let's say 14.
They're not ready for DeVito and Schwarzenegger until they're 14.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a legit answer that I appreciate, and we are out of time.
Oh no,
we didn't get to. So we'll have to save Seth's questions and your questions for future guests because we don't like to waste questions. We're trying to go green here at Wide World of Dogs, and so if we've written a question, we try to use it. But thank you so much, Andy Wood. It's time for Doug plugs. What would you like to plug, Andy?
Ooh, I have a show, if this is coming out in the next week or two, called Guilty Treasure, happening on August 27th at Permanent Records Roadhouse, Delta variant notwithstanding, or, you know, hopefully it's happening.
Right.
It's Brian Cook and I do a show. We have friends come on and sing a song with our band to talk about their choice of bad song, like a song you're embarrassed to love. Both of you would love to have you on sometime if you want to do it. We have Lorraine Newman, David Wayne, and a couple more we're still locking in, but August 27th at Permanent Records Roadhouse.
Where's that?
It's on the east side. It's great. It's a record store that is also a bar and music venue.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, in Frogtown-ish area.
In Joshua Tree.
Yeah. Not against that.
Oh, yes. It'd be fun to do a show out in Joshua Tree.
Oh, yeah.
You guys should come out. You can crash with me. Yeah. I could.
Happy and Harriet's, is that the
yeah, group? They don't really do stand-up, but they should. Yeah, yeah, I can't cool see why they wouldn't.
What have you got to plug, Doug?
I've got a new album coming out that I did in quarantine, actually, called I'm Worried About Me, and it drops September 3rd. Pre-sales up now. Go to iTunes, wherever. Check it out.
Love it. I'm back out there a little bit, baby steps, doing stand-up at Zany's in Chicago on September 13th, and I'll be at the Waiting Room Lounge in Omaha, Nebraska on October 1st. All of my dates and deets are at DougLovesMovies.com. Thank you again to Andy Wood. Yeah, sorry we didn't get to any of your questions, but we did kind of get your questions because I'm sure, yeah, looking at them, all of mine were just going to be more Jeopardy questions. So it'll be interesting to see how our next guest handles that.
Excellent.
And yeah, you can tune in and check it out if you want. As always, Daily Dougal.
Got it.
Hello again, Doug. Hello.
Hey.
It was a three Doug night in San Antonio last Sunday.
Sure was.
Houston comic Doug Dalton joined us on stage. He did a set. We did sets. And then we all got up on stage at the end. Doug's were supposed to get in for free. But what happened there, Doug?
No Doug showed up.
Yeah.
No one let the Dougs out.
We got Dugged out. But, you know, we made the best of it. And now let's go to LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, for a fast 5 and 5.
Please help me welcome him back to the stage for a little bit here we're going to do at the end that I don't know what's going to happen because nobody named Doug showed up. Please welcome Doug Mellard, everybody. All right, so Doug and I co-host Wide World of Dougs, and so what we would like to do now, what we were going to do is figure out, of all the Dougs who came down to the show for free, we were going to select who we thought was the best Doug and designate them the best Doug of San Antonio. It's quite an honor, to be honest. And then we were going to continue traveling around the world and find other Dougs and compare them to the Doug we met here in San Antonio. But no Dougs.
Zero Dougs.
Yeah. And Doug Dalton did a set and just said, I'm out. So so we're not completely Douglas, get it?
Nailed it.
But we do have the two of us, so we're going to try to make this work. And here's what we figured out to do. I asked earlier in the show if anyone here knew a Doug. Raise your hand if you are close with a Doug, related to or...
that whole table.
Just you like somebody there very much. So it's all the same Doug for you over here, that whole table? Okay. And then there's a lady back there, lady over there, and a lady right there. Okay, those four we're going to go to. You can put your hands down. I think I'll remember. All right. So the first one is these folks over here. Who wants to speak for the group? All right, that guy will speak for the group. What's your name?
Cameron.
Okay. For a second, I thought it might be Gamerin with a G.
Gamma ray.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Turns out it's just Cameron. Okay, so Cameron, which is an interesting name. What's your Doug situation?
He's my brother.
He's my brother.
Whoa, that's pretty close.
So everyone that you're at the table with there knows a Doug quite well, and none of you fucking told him about this free deal. You could have got him for free today.
Does he live in San Antonio?
No.
Okay, but I guess apparently travel's stopped, and there's no way for him to be here. Where does he live?
Africa.
Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, ladies. This might be the best Doug by proxy. He might not be here, but, man, he's in Africa.
Fly in from Africa. You'll get on this show for free.
I don't know why he didn't do it.
Yeah,
I don't know why they didn't offer it.
Yeah.
Was the offer there? No, probably not. How long has it been since you've seen this, Doug? Too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About half a year.
Half a year? 6 months? Okay. Well, that's not as bad as what some people have gone through with their relatives, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good Doug.
Yeah. What is he? What's he doing in Africa?
He's working with the U.S. government.
He works with the U.S. government there. Okay, well, we finally found something we don't like about Doug. Don't really care about how the government's been doing things, but, you know, I mean, it's Africa, so it's not going to affect us. All right. But give him a shout from us when you get a chance. Tell him that, you know, these other Dougs miss him and that we wish he was here. Okay, moving across the room this way, the lady in the back there that raised her hand with the glasses on your head. Yeah, what's your name?
Courtney.
Courtney, and what's your Doug situation?
So, I'm
so.
Doug.
What?
Like 7 years ago.
You met a Doug 7 years ago? Are you serious?
And
this is your close Doug?
And Port Aransas.
Oh.
And we made out on the beach and we never
spoke. Oh, I like this Doug. He made out with her on a beach and she never saw him again.
Just ghosted.
Was it me?
That was on stage, the other Doug.
Hey, what's up, Doug?
Wait! Oh, Doug!
Yeah, the whole thing.
Well, now I'm really confused. All right. That's the Doug that was on stage sitting next to you? I thought you left, dude. That's hilarious. Well, you're the best Doug in the room that's not these two. So yeah, well, in a second we'll get you up here. If you don't mind, do you mind coming up? Okay, let's talk to these other folks because they were excited that they knew a Doug. This lady over here, who's your Doug? Racist uncle?
Yeah, let's not.
Fuck that Doug!
Let's not vote that top Doug. Let's.
No, he's no way. There's no way racist Uncle Doug could be better than the Doug that's here and did a funny set earlier
or
in the
Doug
show.
Doug from Africa.
What? No! Doug from Africa's out of it too! And then one more. Where is it? There she is. What's your Doug deal?
He's my father.
Your father's name, Doug? Douglas? Yeah, and
you don't sound excited.
Good dad?
Yeah, he's a good dad.
Oh, he's a good dad. There you go. That might have been the winner if there wasn't a Doug in the room. But since we do have...
By process of elimination.
Since he's here and, you know, hanging out, and we got a couple of minutes, we do a thing on Wide World of Dougs. Come on up, Doug. We do a thing on Wide World of Dougs where we... Doug Mellard and I, we each write five questions for our guest, and then we take turns asking them the questions, and comedian Doug Dalton is going to be asked the questions today.
I'm actually racist, Doug, her uncle, so...
No!
Keep it on point. You know what I like, just fastballs. Italian fastballs, Doug.
You were very nice to come in from Houston today to be here with us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that, because there were no Doug comedians in the San Antonio area.
It did come down to just me, like outside of the area code. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had to import Dougs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cheaper that way.
Well, you know, maybe by the time we come to Houston, there'll be a Doug we can have drive in from San Antonio.
It's just me.
All right, then it'll be you again. We'll have you back again. Because wouldn't that be great, just all the Dougs in comedy, just go around doing shows together?
I think we should be roommates.
Yeah. Whoa. Slow down, Doug.
At least a timeshare or something.
So we wrote five each questions. They're very quick. Just give us your first thought that comes into your head. And there's nothing to really win or lose. But
I'm gonna win.
If we like how this goes, you memorized yours?
No, not at all.
Oh well, why? Oh, you got? Oh, there! Oh, look how small that is!
I folded it.
Hey, small notes.
Small notes over here.
Yeah, I gotta find mine. There they are. Okay, five questions, small notes, and Doug's gonna go first, and
here
then
we go.
When we're done, we're gonna declare you the best Doug in the world.
Nice. As long as you answer correctly.
All right, go.
Question one, favorite Marvel movie, go. Thorn?
Thorn? That one was pretty good because that superhero had a thorn in his in his paw, and somebody pulled it out, and then he saved his life. And Thor, the first one, just Thor, or Thor Ragnarok is my favorite.
Ragnarok's Thor. Dope. Yeah. What's his name? Goldblum.
Yes.
Goldblum's
Goldblum
great.
Goldblum takes it up a notch. My question number one: how much can you bench?
7.
Doug, go.
Best breakfast cereal.
Fruit Loops.
Nice.
Your favorite comedian?
Doug.
Well done. Nicely played.
Bigfoot or Loch Ness?
Me.
Whoa,
no, Bigfoot. That dick, you can't deny that dick. Yeah. That Bigfoot dick, big hairy cock.
But nobody's seen it?
Hell yeah, dude. When that's the first thing you see.
When they do, it's running away.
Yeah. Villagers never see Bigfoot. They see his dick.
The best kind of dick is the one you don't see.
Yeah. That's a good answer. Love a dick you see. That's different dogs.
How many times a day do you brush your teeth? Time's up. Go.
What goes on your breakfast taco? Important Texas question.
Toothpaste. No. Bacon, egg, potato, cheese. Next.
Nice.
Crocs, yay or nay?
Hey, unless you're in county jail.
Then it's right? Yay. Aren't they jail? Yeah, they're yeah, jail you have shoes
to.
Now.
You have to. They're 4 sizes too big. You can't trade them either. That's your. As long as you're there, you've got size 17.
Oh, my God. Go, Doug.
All right, my last question. Batman or Superman?
Batman, dude.
Yeah!
Oh, he likes that answer. All right, my last question. Heads or tails?
Always tails, baby.
Oh, well, I forgot to bring a coin, so congratulations, Doug. You did it. You are the best Doug in the world for the time being. We're going to travel. We're going to try to find other Dougs.
That's a very flimsy.
And we'll let you know when a better Doug, when we've met a better Doug. But until then.
You won't.
You're the best Doug. Doug Dalton, everybody.
Thank you.
And one more time for my friend, my co-host, living in Austin, Texas now. So go see him there or here. You might come back over here. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little drive between the two places. Yeah.
Thanks,
that's
buddy.
That's why I enjoy both cities. And yeah, Doug Millard, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
I, of course, am Doug Benson, and I want to thank the LOL Comedy Club for letting me come back, and thank everyone in this audience for not telling any Dougs to come down, because they would have gotten in for free, and we wouldn't have made money off of them, so who needs them? Thank you, good night!
Got it.